Cleveland.com.
The goal is to get 4 yards on first down. It seems like it's a pretty standard thing in football. But when that doesn't happen for you guys, I don't know the numbers right now, but when that doesn't happen, how is that setting you back as a play caller and what's open for you going forward, just in a drive in general?
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. You know, we got to get at least four yards. If you get more than that, then certainly things open up more and you know, you're setting things up better. So it's a huge part of the offense and how we call it and how we do it.
Second and 10, excuse me, kill a drive before it even gets started.
Well, it sets you back because, you know, now you're playing left-handed for sure. You know, the one thing that, like you said, negative plays or zero-yarded plays is really when you look at drive killers, those are big. So whether it's a penalty, a sack, TFL, or, you know, incomplete pass, that can really set you back. So we try to do everything we can. You know, when we shoot the ball down the field, certainly the percentages, you know, go down in terms of your completion. If you're 50-50 on those type of plays, probably a pretty good day. But you also have to consider that into the equation when you're building a game plan.
Joey Kaufman, Columbus Dispatch.
And you mentioned the fake punt, or it was not the fake punt, the snap was not a fake punt. It was an important distinction there. I guess what happened on that, what can sort of prevent that from happening again? How did you address that?
No, I just asked what happened, and then the ball slipped. So, I was as surprised as anybody. So that can't happen again.
The punt unit had another play. It was an illegal procedure or legal formation. What's your feeling with the way things are going with that unit?
Well, I mean, the muff snap certainly didn't help anything. So, I mean, that's the life of a long snapper, a punter, and a field goal kicker. You know, we call it one shot, one kill, like a sniper. I mean, you don't have an opportunity to be wrong. And so, you know, I think those guys understand that, and they'll work hard to get that fixed. You know, Xavier on that play was lined up, you know, just – it was a hair into the backfield, so we got to get him up. You know, it was close, but he's got to get up on a line of scrimmage. So, you know, just detail on that one for Xavier, somebody who's usually very accountable. And but across the board, yeah, I mean, we need special teams to be an advantage for us. And so, again, we'll work hard this week to, you know, maximize that area because it's a third of the game.
Doug Lamorese, Kings of Columbus, in the podcast.
Ryan, I feel like we asked similar questions last year about this. You guys just statistically are more successful passing the ball than running the ball right now. So why not just pass more?
Right.
And how does – you mentioned – you know, November Big Ten games. How does being in Ohio instead of being in Florida or Texas or California influence your thought process there?
Well, I think it all goes together. I think at the end of the day, you know, you have to move the ball. That's the bottom line. But like you said, there's going to be games here coming up that it's going to be raining, it's going to be windy, and you're not going to have an opportunity to just line up in 4 and 5 wides and throw it all over the yard. So, you know, the other thing is, you know, this year when you're playing – you know, you have a good defense and a young quarterback, you know, you're maybe less likely to take as many chances early on. But, you know, then there comes a time where, you know, you can't beat your head against the wall either. So finding that rhythm is what's important because the number one goal is to win games. And but we got to keep building. We got to keep getting better. You know, and we got to keep, you know, pushing the envelope in all areas because we want to have that balance. And we know that we're going to need both sides of, you know, the offense, both running and passing.
And you guys do have a full-time special teams coach here. It feels like special teams has come up going back to last year at the end of the year, you know, maybe more often than would be expected. You talked about a level of detail. Should your level of detail on special teams be better when you have a full-time coach devoted to that?
I mean, I think we want all of our detail to be better just across the board. But I can tell you that we work really hard on special teams. You know, I think that the coaching detail is there. I think we just need to hold each other accountable. And, you know, again, it starts with me. So I got to help coach it better and, you know, hold the coaches accountable and the players accountable to play at a high level. And, you know, because we want it to be a weapon for us. You know, we want it to be an area that you know, we're winning on. And, you know, there's been some good things. And, you know, just like offense and defense, there's areas we got to get better at.
Fourth row right, Andy Backstrom, Letterman Row.
Ryan, you called him four point plays in the red zone, turning field goals into touchdowns. That's been a struggle for you guys this season. What can you attribute to some of those red zones?
You know, there's been some good things, too. I thought it was, you know, Kyle threw two back-to-back touchdowns. You know, that was great to see him. That was the most confident I've seen him in the pocket, back-to-back, two in a row like that. That was well done. I thought we hit the sweep really well to Mayan. That was well executed. Julian Fleming came down and did a nice job on the Mike linebacker. So those were good. You know, when I look at that, the one drive there, you know, we called the screen there. We knew we were getting zero coverage, and you know, the three technique or four eye didn't quite rush the way we thought he would, and he ended up right in the passing lane. And so Kyle did a nice job of ditching the ball, even though he got an intentional grounding. He didn't put the ball in harm's way. So that one hurt us. And then we went down on the next drive, called the play action pass. The safety didn't come down the way that maybe we thought he would have after we ran the other play. And Kyle did a good job of throwing that away. We didn't get what we wanted on the power play. You know, just didn't get enough movement up front. Didn't quite hit it the maybe we wanted to hit it to at least create a situation where it could have been a two-down situation. And then we tried the throwback to Cade and got too much penetration up front. So, you know, I can kind of go through every play and recognize the areas, but it comes down to execution at the end of the day.
Austin Ward, the podcast.
Brian, did you have to run on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not trying to get you fined, but it feels like you've been getting a number of apologies from the Big Ten or post-game explanations. What is your involvement in trying to get that clarity afterwards? What is your level of frustration with the way it's seemingly happening every single week?
Yeah, like you said, it's hard for me to say much. But I can just tell you this, that, you know, it's my job to advocate for the players and compete. I mean, there's so much on the line every single Saturday. And so you got my word. I'm going to, you know, go as hard as I possibly can to defend our players to make sure that, you know, they have the best environment to be successful. That's the best way I can put it.
You do with apology letters. You frame those. Those mean a lot to you.
No comment. I wish I could say.
Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
When you have a unit like with the offensive line right now, I know you're trying to improve every position all season. When you have one that's a little bit farther behind right now, can you afford to alter things in practice to account for that, to bring that group along? Like, how do you do that, and what does it cost you to do?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think you got to figure out, okay, what are the areas that we're maybe coming up short in? Now, this is just with everybody, but, you know, just like anybody else in any other line of work, I'm sure, is, you know, if there's areas you got to improve on, we got to look at everything. Got to look at, you know, what we're doing, how we're doing it, how we're preparing, how we're practicing it, how we're calling it. I mean, every part of it. And, you know, that's going on.
You said you think you have the personnel right now. But coming into the season, there was a lot of talk about how Luke was looking early on, how Mecca had come on, Tegra Shibola. So is there still a gap between where those guys are at and where your five starters are at?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, well, we looked hard at it. I just don't see any of those guys right now pushing. I'd like to see that. But don't see them, like, pushing on the door enough to say, you know, someone deserves 20, 30 snaps in a game just yet. But, you know, there's still a lot of football left to play. And, you know, it's, you know, feel free to make a push, you know. We want that in practice.
Right behind him, Jeff Gilbert, Press Pros.
excuse me, back to the run game thing still. The line, the personality that teams have, this group as a line, what's their personality and how does it need to evolve to be what you want it to be?
Yeah, I think when I always say execution fuels emotion. I think when we are executing, you see that emotion come into play. And I think that's a huge part of it. So, you know, I don't think they're not playing hard. I don't see that part of it. I think they're working to play hard. They're working to play physical. And there's certain areas like hand placement, pad level, you know, identification of things that we can all improve on. But you know, it's not just the offensive line either. You know, I think the running backs have to take some responsibility. You know, the quarterback's got to take some responsibility. The wide receivers, the tight end. I mean, everyone's got to do their part here. So you know, we're all looking at it and pushing to make it better.
You're working with them hard. Does it feel like we're all picking on them a little bit, or do you feel like this is kind of justified, all the questions about
this? This is the expectation. I get it. You know, nobody wants to run the ball more than me. So, I mean, the bottom line is if they're going to put that many guys down in the box, there's probably going to be open receivers down the field with the guys that we have. I get that part of it, but that doesn't mean that we're just going to abandon the run game. I've been down that road before, you know, and throwing 450 yards in a game is great, but, you know, it's going to catch up with you later in the season if you can't figure out how to run the ball. And I've learned my lesson on that, and so we're just going to keep pushing as hard as we can to make sure that we have the balance we need to win the games we need. You know, that's, I think that's the best you can do as a coach, but we're also going to win the games and whatever that takes. But, you know, we know what we need to do. We know what it looks like. We got good coaches. We got good players. So we'll keep swinging on it.
Far left, Justin Holbrock, WCMH.
Going back to opportunity, just for you personally, what is it like to see guys that you said everybody's path looks different and it takes guys longer and they don't expect maybe where they're going to end up? Or for a guy like Josh to have a game like he did or Chip two games ago, just for you, what's it like to see them stick with it and have that come to fruition?
Well, we're only five games in, but yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a guy who's been through a lot. You know, you think of Lathan and Josh, both, you know, broken legs and injuries and different things they've been through. But that's what makes life losing their life, injuries, struggling to get on the field, bad games, whatever those, they're struggling in academically, socially, you know, mentally, physically, whatever the things are. We've had all the above here. You know, that's as a position coach, you know, I don't get that as much anymore. But as a head coach overseeing it all, you know, that's why you coach. You know, you didn't get into coach to do anything other than have an impact on people. And that is the rewarding part of it. Now, you know, you have to win every game. If you don't win every game at Ohio State, they're going to find another coach. So that's part of the job, but that's not the reason why you coach. The reason you coach is to have an impact on people. And, you know, our coaching staff believes in that.
Did you start to see that level of consistency that he can be entrusted to do that and perform every single game?
Well, I think it's been a long road for Josh. It has. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and he's stuck through it. He's persevered. He's come out the back end, and now he's the best version of himself. Now, it's week to week, but you're seeing what he's capable of, and so now he's got to continue to do it over time.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch.
I know at Ohio State the expectation is you reload and not rebuild, but the fact is that you did lose three NFL players on that line, including a high first-round pick. Is it just possible that this talent on the line is just not quite what you want it to be right now?
I think that's hard for me to say because, you know, I believe in our guys and I think, you know, they're plenty good enough to go win every game. So, you know, I'd tell you if I didn't think so. And so then what we're going to do is just continue to grow to get better. I mean, there was a point where, you know, Paris Johnson wasn't quite where he needed to be. You know, he was in his sophomore year, he was at right guard and then he moved over to tackle. And then as the season went on, he got better and better. So we're going to keep pushing these guys to get better and better because, like you said, the expectation is so high.
Actually, I'll let you go. That's all I got.
Okay.
We'll do another one.
Okay, we'll wrap things up with the tables this time. Tim May, on three, Letterman Row.
Yeah, just three quickies. I was going to ask a smart leg, but I'm not. But on the Xavier Johnson illegal motion penalty, what's the coaching point there, or was it?
The penalty was called because he was going towards the line of scrimmage to gain an advantage. So we can't be going towards the line of scrimmage when we go into motion.
So he was. I mean, when you watched the video, that was correct.
That was what it was called, yeah. That's what it was called.
As you said it right now, and sort of dovetailing off all the questions about the offensive line, are you sitting here right now, are you disappointed in the progress thus far? You know, what word would you use to describe that? Is it just, you know, guys slow in recognition on what's going on a particular play? Because I would think you have answers for almost anything a defense does throw at you in some form or fashion. Just what word would you use, I guess?
I think if we were talking about a particular play, you know, we could probably watch the film, and I could tell you on each play what needs to get better. And, again, when you look at it and you say, you know, it's personnel, it's coaching, or it's scheme – I mean, you know, I'm very, very critical of that. There were a couple plays that we probably could have called in a different, you know, and so that got us off schedule. But for the majority of them, I thought they were decent. I thought the angles and the leverage was decent on the plays. And then, you know, I look at the personnel, like, were we just getting flat out beat? I think we can do a better job with our hands. Yes. We need to do a better job with our pad level. Yes. But then just, you know, between the line and the running back and just the overall execution, it just – it wasn't there. So I don't know if I have a word other than we're just going to keep swinging on this thing. And you know, it's one of those things where if you can solve it, it's going to be rewarding because, you know, we're working so hard at it. But everybody's got to take responsibility.
Yeah, the reason I ask that is there is no simple answer to a question right. like that at this right. point. And then number two, as you sit here right now, I know it's knock on wood time and all this kind of stuff. How would you describe your pleased? Are you pleased? Whatever, what word would you use to describe where your defense is right now compared to the way it left last year? I mean, is it remarkably improved? How would you describe it? Because you watched the video.
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell right now where we're at, but you're seeing some good play. You're seeing more experienced play. You're seeing guys who, are able to, take meetings to the field. They're able to get in and out of defenses pretty quickly. They're able to react faster. And probably the word that I like to use better is anticipation. They're able to anticipate things as opposed to reacting. We all know what that looks like. It's kind of hard to quite verbalize other than that. But, you know when you see it. They're playing faster. They're seeing it. They're communicating well. But the challenge is going to be, can you bring it every week? Ultimately, you won't know the answer to that until the end of the season. So we got to do that again here noon on Saturday.
Toward that end, what does Purdue offer? What does Purdue offer from a challenge standpoint for this defense from what you've seen?
Yeah, the quarterback's good. Card, he's got a strong arm. He can run around, make plays. They've been very explosive at times on offense. And so, they'll challenge us in certain areas. So, and they'll have a really good plan. And, it's a road game in October in the Big Ten. You know how that goes. So.
Thank you, man. Ryan, I apologize. You said something I'm just so curious to follow up on. You said you learned your lesson on needing to run the ball. Was it 73 passes for 470 yards against Purdue and 25 runs for 76 yards? And scoring 20 points in a loss? Is that the game?
I wouldn't say it was one game, but I think there's just been times over the years where, you just realize that, this is going to be important if we're going to reach our goals. And, I can't just point to one game, although, that game in particular, we didn't run the ball very well. How many yards did we throw for in that game?
470.
Right.
49 to 73 for 470.
Right. So the stats look good, but you lose the game. So, that's why we're always working to strike a balance. And, at the end of the year, you come up for air and you try to identify the areas you got to get better at. And there's been certain games that I've looked at and said, okay, we got to do a better job in those areas. Yeah.
Coach, yep. Thank you very much.